had a little interview with a young man not too long ago.
Evan, which song? Ian, which song are we going to read? Now, you knew this just a few minutes ago. Did you say 18 or 19?
17! 17!
Y'all remember when you were 17? Obviously, Ian doesn't. Evan doesn't. Patty doesn't. 17. That were a while back. To put things in its perspective, there was a hymn writer, and he wrote the hymn about being a lost, weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. I'll put you on the spot. Who wrote that? Well, I'm bragging I do on you, only about you. You can redeem yourself. What's Pythagorean theorem? Anybody here know what the Pythagorean theorem says?
That's just a triangle.
It does. Is it the one that says every triangle has three sides? It's a little more complicated than that. Just if you're curious, while you're turning to Psalm 17, the Pythagorean theorem is one that says for every right triangle, that means for that 90-degree angle, the square of the hypotenuse is equal to the sum of the squares of the other two sides. That means A squared, B squared will add up to the square of side C. The hypotenuse. Now somebody will come out of here and say, why was the preacher talking about a hypotenuse? We're going to be looking at Psalm 17, but to title this, just turn for a moment over to Jeremiah chapter 29. This is the Lord speaking. Would you like to know what God thinks about me? I would. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. As a believer, you have an expected end. You say, I've got it real rugged right now. It's rough and it's tough. And you know what? That may well be so. How's it going to end up? What is your expected end if you're a child of God? Now the world says things. You know, Mr. Shakespeare wrote a play, All's Well That Ends Well. And they say things like, it'll all come out in the wash. Well, that might work for washing your clothes. But what is the end? You know, a man lives his whole life and then dies without Christ. His end is not such a wonderful thing. But what is it that we can look forward to? Not maybe you got my fingers crossed. We can know that it is so. And that's what Psalm 17 talks about. The expected end of the believer. Okay? Let's read these 15 verses. David, as is often he does, pours out his soul to the Lord. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear to my prayer, that goeth not out of feigned lips. In other words, I really mean what I'm saying. I'm not just fooling around and going through the motions. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Now, folks, as a preacher, I can say, man, that's two sermons right there. And I've only read two verses, but let's keep going. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I call upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thy ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. You ever sing that song? It uses that expression. Think it came from here? I think so. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They're all around, all the time. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion working in secret places. As a kid, I used to watch Marlon Perkins, a brave fellow who said, we found these little chicks, and he's holding the chicks here. And then when they're in Africa or Australia, and he says, now there's an alligator out there. Now Jim's going to get up there on the wrestle. I didn't see Marlon Perkins wrestling that alligator. But there's some amazing things out there. And when he did show the lion, he didn't say, attention, attention, all you antelope, I'm going to come eat you. You better run while you got the opportunity. No. Sneaking around, licking his chops. You think there's anybody watching you? Wanting to take you out? Wanting to mess you up? Wanting to show you up for all the things they think are about you? Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. In the eyes of the world, some folks are doing pretty good. But don't think you're getting a raw deal, folks. Remember, the expected end. Verse 15 is the end. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You think about the best looking movie star. You think, I'm going to look like them when I get to be with the Lord. Really? You will look morally like the Lord. Your mind constantly on him. All these things that occupy, you know, you get out of calendar, okay, on this day I got a doctor's appointment, and on this day I got to pay the trash bill, and on this day I got to do this, and this day. There's a lot of stuff we won't be doing in the sweet by and by, but we will be focused on the Lord, rejoicing in him and expressing our gratitude. So many people, technically, they go from having no clue to having no hope. They might say, whether or not one would, I hope so. You can sense the sincerity of David when he said, as he said in verse 1, what I'm saying, it's not coming from faint lips. Heard a preacher once, I think it was at Sacramento. He said something in the message, and by the way, folks, I'm preaching now. I'm not just, pardon me, I'm telling the truth. I'm not just preaching. And I think a preacher would say, even if he's thinking it, or he plants some. But the point is, this is the real deal, the real McCall. The scriptures are not silent about the end of both types of these. When we started our study in the Psalms, we looked at Psalm 1 that talks about two men. They have two minds, two hearts, two directions, and they have two destinations. The righteous is going to be good, better than we can imagine. For the evil, it's not just a little bit less, no. And you ever wonder, what could I read for a good devotion? Just go to Psalm 1. It lays it out so clear. Two thoughts for this afternoon. When we think about the wicked, they really have no basis for hope. I think every week, if you look, the newspapers list obituaries. Who has died? And they'll tell you, if they're a movie star, the movies they made. If they're an author, they'll tell them the books that they wrote. If they're an athlete, they'll talk about, well, he won the Heisman Trophy, or he won the, one golfer, you know, I got to work and get a green coat. Okay. To them, that's really something. What about their soul? How will they spend eternity? Well, they'll have memories of, some of the best and brightest and all that. But bottom line, folks, the wicked have no basis for hope. Any hope that they might say they have, it's just a pipe dream. They put their confidence in the wrong thing. In Psalm number 20, we'll look ahead just a few. And we've looked at this before. Some trust in chariots. You know, some people, they have a chariot with a whole lot of horsepower. Maybe over 100 horsepower. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Well, that's special to me, and I hope it is to you. Go a little bit more to the right. Go to Psalm 33. Look at me, please. Verses 16 and 17. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. I got a big heart. I'll kick you out. Yeah, look at this. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength, and horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Bottom line, you better not put your faith in the wrong word, the wrong numbers, the wrong whatever. And then to the right just a little bit more, Psalm 44. Look at verse 6 of Psalm 44. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. I got lots of ammunition. Bring it on. I got enough I can take. You know, you got to sleep sometime. What do you do when you run out of ammo? What do you do when you can't find your sword? What do you do when your horse comes up lame? All these things you're counting on. Pipe me. Time after time, the scriptures affirm the hopelessness of our circumstances. You know, we think we're really something. That's the flesh whispering in your ear. That's the world telling you, be like everybody else. That's the devil saying, You're okay. We're looking at a study not long ago about Satanism. And a Satanist will tell you, listen, as long as you don't hurt anybody else, it's what you want anyway. Live for yourself. Live for today. Live for pleasure. The Bible even tells you what they think. They'll say, eat, drink, and be merry. Then tomorrow you die. Why should we think about tomorrow? Well, God told a man, we read it in, I guess it was Sunday school not too long ago, thou fool, this night your soul shall be required of thee. Y'all ever heard of Ray Charles? He came to Memphis. Well, we were still living in Memphis. And I said, hey, come down to Orpheum. See and hear Ray Charles. And he came into the radio station. They gave him an interview. They said, Ray, what will you tell folks? He says, I tell people to live every day like it's their last, because one day it will be. And old George Klein says, I guess that's pretty good. And you know what? He spoke the truth. Every day. If we can live it for the Lord, because someday, unless the Lord comes first, you will have your last day. I've known a lot of sincere people. So I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the overtaker. Oh, watch for the Lord. While you're watching, while you're waiting, make sure you're working. But I've known of so many that I believe lived for the Lord. And they didn't have to wait until some date after 2020, because I know this, the Lord is going to come someday after the calendar year 2020. I'm on safe ground saying that. Is he going to come before the end of 2021? I don't know. Did he come before the end of July? He could. Did he come before 2 o'clock? He could. Should I be ready? I should. You should. Because the Lord could come. And if he doesn't come for an indeterminate number of years, you could take your last breath. I'm not hoping that. I'm just telling you. It could happen. Dear lady, was it last night you were talking to her daughter? I was her pastor for 28 years. She buried her husband. And frail thing. Was she down to 56 pounds, something 65. Like that? 65 pounds. She's got more years on the calendar than she has pounds on the scale. And her daughter's already told her mom, she's at the Arkansas Heart. And her mom told her, her daughter told her, Mom, when you get out, you're going to a nursing home. Because she's past the point where somebody could just say, we'll look in on you once or twice a day. She needs round-the-clock care. Her daughter said, Mom, did you eat anything? And she started rattling, well, I don't have to know what. I just need a mat. You ate something. Because if you stop eating anything, it won't be long before something else will be eating you. I'm talking about the Word. And no matter how many years you live, she is upper 80s, 88 years old. You don't have a guarantee as to how long you're going to live. I don't either. How long am I going to live? I'm going to live as long as God has determined that I will live. Not a moment before and not a moment after. So I need to be focused. Well, the wicked don't get it. But let's end on that pleasant note, because the righteous, they have an expected end. When the Lord comes back, You might have a zero account in the bank. You might say, I don't, all my friends, all my family's gone. I told you recently about a woman about my age. Her daddy died. Her mama died. Her only child died. And sometimes people say, well, what's next? Well, in your family, it's not your sister, it's going to be you. When you're young and you think you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof, well, I'll be concerned about that later. When Marsha and I didn't know this, we were both coming up in school in California in the 50s and 60s. And they said, boys and girls, let's do the math. How old will you be in the year 2000? 2000? Wow! Science fiction's writing about that. According to some of the writers, we would have people going and living on the moon by that time. They weren't quite right on that one. And I'm figuring, I'll be 47 years old. Boy, that's old. You don't tell a kid, you know, second, third grade. 47, man, you're an old guy. But you know what? I hit 47 and kept going. Humanly speaking, there's a part of me like to be 47 again. I'd like to be 57 again. I'd even like to be 67 again. But that's not to be. But the righteous, no matter how many years we live, it's not a question how many years in our life, but sort of life in our years. The righteous have an expected end. So let's think about past, present, and future. What do you say in verse 3? Let's go back to our psalm. Thou hast proved mine heart. God has said and done some things. He has, like the old folks would say, he has vouchsafed his promises. Like the godly woman who would take her pen and she'd read a promise and she'd put a C by that promise to be, I've claimed that promise. And then later, when the Lord provided, she put plus P, claimed and proven. God's not going to promise something. He's not going to be spouting off some stuff. Oh, I didn't mean that stuff. Well, you and I might say things we don't mean. I always think old Fred Wright, you know. Boy, he'd done it all. Just ask him, he'd tell you. But God isn't just talking through his hat, so to speak. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Last night, the wind blew. And the rain came down. And the fire went off. And I don't sleep so well without electricity because of my Darth Vader mask, you know. And as far as I know, I was the only one awake in the house. Are you awake? Yeah. You know what I heard? Now, I've learned not to wake up. Are you awake? I am now. Oops. But you know what? The Lord wasn't snoozing last night.
Amen.
The Lord wasn't ringing his own. Oh, no, the power's going to be out. What am I going to do? No! The Lord's got us covered. And so, he's reminding us of that. Thou hast visited me in the night. You ever had the sense the Lord tapped you on the shoulder when you feel like there's nobody out there to hear? There's nobody out there to give a care. The Lord knows where his people are. He knows what they've been through. He knows the things that grab their heart and put them in a panic mode. Look at verse 4.
Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the path of the destroyer. How does God tell us to stay away from the bad stuff? Well, the psalmist did say, in the longest psalm, thy word have I hid in my heart so I could get a gold star in my Sunday school class. That's not the main reason, that I might not sin against thee. I have more knowledge, more understanding than the ancients or my teachers. Why? Because I take God's word seriously. You want to be smart in a biblical, in a lasting sense? Know this book. And then look at the first part of verse 6. I have called upon thee, thou wilt hear me, O God. When I was little, I lose a tooth. Mom and Dad said, well, put it under the pillow. Maybe the tooth fairy will come along. One night I heard somebody make the floor creak a little bit. Is that you, tooth fairy? I heard a very familiar face, a very familiar voice say, no, go back to sleep. So I guess it wasn't the tooth fairy. After all, they said they weren't the tooth fairy. But the Lord hears. Well, I don't know. Depending where I am, you know, Mr. Jonah was at the bottom of the whale. And it wasn't like, did I? Shame on me. Serves me right, the phone ring about now. But if I were Mr. Jonah and I had one of these, I can't get a signal. Dude, you're inside the whale. But Jonah cried out to the Lord and made a fantastic theological statement when he said, salvation is of the Lord. He'd say, you know, Lord, I'm trying to figure a way to get out of here. No, that's not the Jonah of the Bible. So we speak about the past. And there are other passages throughout the Psalms to talk about how that we know that God has shown his care, his concern, his provision, his protection for us. Sometimes people get up and they'll sing, the Lord will take care of me. I am so glad that Jesus loved me. Yeah, each and every one of God's people should be able to sing that. Just make sure when you sing that, you don't think, he really only cared about me. He didn't care about you or anybody else. No. Every one of God's people should acknowledge that they have a personal relationship with the Lord. But they don't want to be like that prophet who said, I'm the only one left. The Lord said, by the way, there's 7,000 out there. Just because you don't know who they are, you don't know what they're going through, doesn't mean that they're not my people and they're not walking as they are. So we talk about the past. Think for a minute about the present. Verse 5, hold up my goings in my paths, that my footsteps slip not. Folks, when you get up in the morning, I doubt you pray too much about what happened yesterday. You probably won't be praying too much about what happens next week, next month. But the Lord did say, give us this day our daily bread. It's a daily thing. Each day is a challenge. Each day is an opportunity. This is the day that the Lord has made. What about tomorrow? According to the calendar, that's July 12th. But if the Lord comes today, ain't going to be a July 12th. At least not for us. Now the people on the other side of International Dateline, it's 2 o'clock in the morning for them. Some of them anyway. It's the 12th of July for them as they measure time. But I don't know. The Lord has got those things meted out. Hold up my goings in thy paths. And that's because of something that Moses said, back to Deuteronomy 27. We sing chapter 33 and verse 27. We sing a song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And that's taken from that passage, where it speaks about the Lord. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Another song says, can an all-powerful arm, can it grow weary? Can it decay? No. God has got you. He supports you. He holds you up. Old Moses, he was kind of chunky, as the Jews would say. And there was a time when God said, Moses, when the Hebrews go against these heathen people, you hold your arms up. And he said, I can do that. And so he held his arms up. As long as his arms are up, they had the victory. But you know what? Old Moses got tired. After all, he was 80 when he left Egypt with these folks. So he's getting up there in years. And after a while, his arms, he reached his limits. And as his arms went down, so we would say the fortunes of war went. And it looked bad for the Hebrews. And he knew what the Lord said. You keep your arms up and everything will be fine. So you know what the Lord reminded him of? And they said, let's get something out. They have a nice wooden chair or a nice stuffed chair. So I can just see him getting a big old rock. Here, Moses, sit on this rock. And he sits on the rock. Okay, now this guy's going to hold this arm up like this. Okay. And this guy's going to hold this arm up like this. Okay. And his arms were up and they got the victory. Because Moses' arms had their limitations. My arms have their limitations. Your arms have limitations. But God's arms have no limitations. Amen. Right here, right now. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get sleepy. He don't even blink. 121st Psalm reminds, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. When Mr. Custer would attack an Indian village, he'd say, we caught him napping, boys. You're not going to catch God napping. That's what the prophet said, Mount Carmel. There's all those fellows, these devotees of Baal, they would jump up and down and they would yell and scream and they were cutting themselves and nothing came from heaven. And he says, come on, guys. He's a God, isn't he? Cry louder! Maybe his miracle ear needs a new battery or something. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's off with a chase somewhere. He's got other fish to fry. Maybe he'd rather you not bother. I guarantee you, God always has an ear towards his people. And if he isn't hearing the way we would want him to hear, it's not because his ear is shortened, as it says in Isaiah 59, but it says it's your sins that have separated you from him. It's not God that's moved. The heathens have a little sign. If you feel far from God, guess who moved? David said in the 66th Psalm, I believe it's the 18th verse, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Is the Lord hearing your prayer? Well, you know, search your own heart. Let's think about the future. And before we look at a couple of these, turn ahead for just a moment to Psalm 116. That's 99 more than the one we're looking at. The Lord gives me strength and breath, and he doesn't return before that time. Theoretically, in 99 more Sundays, we'll be looking at Psalm 116. But let's get a sneak peek right now. Psalm 116, look at verse 2. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. God is listening. Maybe somebody else isn't, but God is listening. Because he hath inclined his ear to me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. I did some things when I was a little kid, and I don't do those things anymore. But I pray, I ought to pray. You're a child of God, you pray. God's like, oh, you're too old for that. You don't need to do that anymore. That's not God talking. When we hear counsel like that. Think about the future. Back in verse number 3, the last part of that verse. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Lord, with your help, I'm not going to mess up. I'm not going to talk trash about you. I'm not going to use your name in the wrong way. I will speak, even as we speak of the future, in a way honoring to you. You know, the 19th Psalm says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be good enough for my Uncle Joe. No! Be acceptable in thy sight, because that's the one we must please. That's the one we are to honor. Look at verse 7. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee and those that rise up against them. God is our Savior. Marcia knows who I'm thinking about. I was in a bind once and I called somebody and I said, can you help? And they said, just take care of it the best you know how. Click. Ooh, that's a time we really are glad for promises like what God has said in his word. Because the Lord's going to say, you're on your own, buddy. Doesn't work that way. Amen. Lord brought an angel. His initial was JC, but we're not talking Jesus Christ. Although, well, that's another message. Look at verses 8 and 9. What about the future? Because this song is future oriented. It's not just the past. It's not just the here and now. What is ahead of us? Will we continue into 2022? 2029? 2049? I'll tell you what I'll be in 2049. One of two things. Really old or really dead. Humanly speaking, I have no expectation to be alive in 2049. If the Lord gives me life and I'm still of sound mind, I'll say, wow, what was I thinking when I said that back in 2021? Because I was thinking in terms of how I perceive things. Could God preserve me? Of course he could. Is he pleased to do that? That's his business. But what about the future? We saw verse 3. We saw verse 7. Look at 8 and 9. Keep me as the apple of the eye. I'm told that's talking about this part. You probably don't stick your finger in and try to work it in. No, you don't like things poking in the eye. Something that is precious. You want to save your eye as best you can. Keep me as the apple of thy eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. A lady asked a preacher friend of ours when he was still going to school in Missouri and said, what color are God's? What color are his wings? And he said, I'll answer that if you'll answer this. In Psalm 91, it says, under his feathers. Can you tell me what color his feathers are? God has feathers. What's the language? It's figurative language, but it reminds us. Now, I don't know too much about chicken, except I'm glad the colonel knows how what to do with the chicken. But I understand when a hawk is flying overhead, or a wolf, or a fox, or a weasel, those chicks know to run to mama. And mama puts out her wings. I heard about a case where there was a fire in the prairie. And they found some little chicks. They were able to survive. But mama, who put them under her wings, was taken by that fire. And that image, I think, speaks to this. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppressed me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They're all over the place. They can't wait to jump on you. And then finally, drop down to the last verse. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. For the righteous is not God saying, you messed up, buddy. No. We were talking about that at lunch, weren't we, Brother Sean? The fact is, when the Lord looks at us as his people, he doesn't see our sin. Oh, there's that guy that used to do all that bad stuff. I'm ashamed of it. No. He sees the blood of Christ. That's what you're singing about. It's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's not my blood, my sweat, my toils, my tears. It's the blood of Christ. Anybody tries to get any other message than that from the Word, they need to go back to square one. They need to see what it says. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. We are being conformed to the image of his Son. That means in a moral way, in a spiritual way, we are going to think like Jesus more than we do now. We are going to talk. We are going to walk. We're going to be more like Jesus. I wonder how we could know how Jesus would be about a thing. Again, go back to the basics. What are our takeaways? Well, concerning the wicked, their end is affirmed and made it very clear, especially verses 10 and then 13 and 14. But what about for the righteous? Two very special takeaways. The first we're just talking about in verse 8. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. God has us covered. Now, there are a lot of scriptures that say that, but right now we're looking at Psalm 17. So target that. You say, what should I memorize? Hey, it's all good. But if you want something that will hold you, will give you the confidence, part of that arsenal that you need, because the devil's not going to help you out, and the world's not going to encourage you, and your flesh doesn't feed on that. But as God's child, know that you're kept and that you're hidden. And then the expected end of the believer, look at the end as we were just looking. We're to believe. And those of us who believe will behold, we will behold his face, will be satisfied with thy likeness. You know, the world puts out something, if you're not 100% satisfied, we'll give you the old thing. I saw an ad for a mattress. They said, you can sleep on it for, a month or so. And if you don't like it, we'll give you back your old mattress. Well, I think some people say, well, as long as I got a money-back guarantee here, I can go back. I like to be able to take it back. I guarantee you, if you are God's child, you will be satisfied when you are displayed in his likeness. Now, there might be some people under your same roof, or where you work, or on your neighbor, in your neighborhood, one of your neighbors, who might say, I don't like how you remind me of Jesus. That could well be. You know, if they don't have a filter, they might say it out loud, but the fact is, they're thinking it. If you're more like the Lord, less like this world, less like a minion of Satan, less like one who wants to do what the flesh would have you to do, you're going to stand out like a sore thumb. Just like Noah, just like Abraham, just like Daniel. And as a lot of my friends like to say, that's a good thing. You want to take a stand for God, a stand for the right.